Good morning. Please join with me in the Old Testament to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, we want to move into chapter 4 in just a moment. It's in the beginning of the Old Testament. If you find 1 Samuel, find 2 Samuel, find 1 Kings, keep going to 2 Kings, then you will find 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, we'll move into chapter 4 in just a moment. Thanks to Brother Parker and his fine leadership this morning in praise to our God and song. And Brother Doug, who led us in prayer to our Heavenly Father. And Brother Cody, who read to us from the 23rd Psalm with regards to the Lord as our shepherd. And it is good for us to be together this morning. To visitors that are here, it's a delight again to have you. And I say to you, welcome. We are encouraged by your presence and by your interest in things that are spiritual. And now as we together attune our hearts to God and to His Word and what He has revealed to us for our good and for our edification and for our continual learning. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. In just a moment, we'll read two passages there. These are two verses that are seldom read. This is a particular book in the Old Testament that is seldom read. It is filled with names and it is filled with details that are often even considered by Christians to be irrelevant, and yet we know that is not the case. God never reveals anything for us and did not preserve anything that was not in some measure for our good and for our learning. And yet when we study 1 Chronicles, we get lost at times in the reading. We find a man by the name of Jabez that is mentioned. We know very little about this man Jabez. What is interesting to me is Jabez is known not for what he did, but for what he prayed. God does not reveal to us what Jabez did, but God does see fit to preserve for us and reveal to us what Jabez prayed. What I want us to do together this morning is I want us to look quickly at Jabez, the man, and what little we know it is revealed to us about Jabez, and then spend the entirety or the rest of our time looking at this prayer in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Let's begin the reading in verse 9. I'm reading from the New King James Version, the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning in verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers or his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, God, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand, God, would be with me, and that you, God, would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And so God granted Jabez what he requested. Let's look at the man, Jabez. Really, what's revealed to us here is that it says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, or more honorable, perhaps, than his brethren. He was from the tribe of Judah, more honorable than those from the tribe of Judah and other brethren, others in Israel, or perhaps his physical brothers. But nonetheless, that tells us something about Jabez, and it tells us something about his character. But please appreciate that I don't believe this is telling us that his brothers or his brethren were not honorable, simply that Jabez was more honorable. He was a man of greater character. What's interesting to me is not one thing is said about Jabez's physical features. Young people, it doesn't say, now Jabez was a tall, dark, and handsome man. It does not say anything about his physical features. It says nothing about his skill, his physical talent. The focus is placed solely upon this man's character. And the reason I bring this out is because we live in a world today where the emphasis is placed more on physical qualities and characteristics and talent and skill in a person rather than the person's character or his or her heart. Remember what the Lord said to Samuel? When He sent Samuel to anoint the next king in Israel, the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks what? Where? On the outward appearance. But God looks on the heart. God focuses here in 1 Chronicles 4 on Jabez's character, on his heart. That's where we ought to put the focus. This tells us about Jabez. It tells us he was a man of integrity. It tells us he was a man of noble character. And I think indicative in this was Jabez was the type of person that I think is seen in his praying, where he just wanted to be more and do more for God. That's a person of honor and character. But let's focus on the prayer. Again, Jabez. Oh God, that You would bless me indeed. God, that You would enlarge my territory or my border. And God, that Your hand would be with me, that You would keep me from harm or for evil, so that I might not cause pain. It's interesting to me that first, the text tells us that God, or Jabez, called on the God of Israel. Jabez realized that there was no one else to whom he could speak. There was no one else before whom he would bow and make such requests or petitions who could grant and honor such. No one else had the power other than God. Jabez realized that he was bringing real needs to a real God who cared and had the power to do what no man can do. Jabez was putting his trust not in psychological phraseology. He was putting his trust in God. Why do I bring this up? Have you ever heard someone at a point of crisis or need in their life make the request of you, "I need your prayers"? I have all the time. And that's a noble request. But yet what I fear sometimes is there are even Christians, when they ask for prayers, that they don't realize when they say, "I need your prayers," what they ought to appreciate is they're acknowledging that they have need of God. That there's not power, there's not some magic in some kind of phraseology and the saying or the repetition of words, that we're trusting in words, that we're trusting in psychological phraseology more than we are the God to whom we address and speak and bow before and depend upon daily. I wonder how many times we are asking for prayer, but yet unwilling to acknowledge our need for God. Jabez called upon the one true and living God because Jabez again was a man of character and faith in God. Someone has once said the greatest tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but the greatest tragedy of life is an offered prayer. Let's look at the prayer. Jabez says, "Oh God, first that You would bless me indeed." Let's deal with the obvious. It is right. It is proper for us as God's children to ask for blessing and favor from our Heavenly Father. We're not told the specifics behind "bless me indeed." But surely we can appreciate, again, because Jabez was a man of character, surely we can appreciate that his requests were from pure motives. And James talks about the importance of when we ask of God, that we ask from pure motives. What Jabez asked for, what all is involved in, "Lord, bless me indeed," we're not told. But I want to make this point. People of noble character and people of great faith think and pray differently than others. People of noble character, people of great faith, think and pray differently than others. When you ask of your Heavenly Father, when I ask of my Heavenly Father, do I ask from pure motives? When I ask for blessing and for favor, is my request more of a physical nature than of a spiritual? Now again, we have right to give us this day our daily bread. We have every right to petition our Father for physical things, for necessities, even though they are temporary. We have right to do that. But again, when I ask of my Heavenly Father for favor and blessing, am I consumed by the physical more than I am the spiritual? Do we pray, God, bless me indeed, and then say, bless me with understanding? In the language of Psalm 119 and verse 18, when we say, God, bless me with understanding, perhaps we would say, God, open my eyes so that I might see wondrous things from your law. God, give me understanding, give me insight into you and to what you have revealed. Open my eyes so that I can see perhaps what I have been missing, so that I can understand what you would have me to understand, so that I might live by what you would have me to live by and do what you would have me to do. Open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. Do we pray for more patience? To be better parents, to be better servants, to be better Christians. Do we pray for wisdom? Do we pray for favor from God with regards to someone in our physical family or someone in the workplace? Do we say, God, grant me favor. God, open the door of opportunity so that I can reach this person with the gospel. You see how the request and these requests come from people of noble character and people of faith who are attuned to God and doing His will? Do we ask God for these things? Jabez had every right, and he petitioned God in faith for blessing and for favor. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. But he says also that you would enlarge my territory, that you enlarge my border or my coast. Is Jabez praying for more real estate? Possibly. It may be that Jabez understood that there was still territory, there was still part of the inheritance that God had said belonged to His tribe, His people, and they had not yet taken possession. So perhaps Jabez is saying, Lord, enlarge my border, enlarge my territory. Help me to lead your people to take what is rightfully ours, to do what you've asked us to do. That may be a possibility. I'm more inclined to think that Jabez is thinking in terms of more responsibility, more authority, more influence, more opportunity. It appears that Jabez was, again, the type of man that was seeking to impact lives in a good way to a greater degree. Enlarge my territory of influence. Give me more to do. Give me more to serve. I'll tell you something about praying for greater opportunities, greater responsibilities, greater influence. God will not widen our territories and borders unless we truly desire it. God will not widen our territories and will not widen our borders unless we are truly asking in faith from pure motive. God will not widen our territory unless He knows that we are putting ourselves and others in a position to be able to handle the increase? Can He trust me? Can He trust us? Can He trust you with an increase in stewardship? Have you proven yourself faithful in the small things? Have you proven yourself, have I proven myself reliable and trustworthy with what He has already entrusted or given to me by favor? When I say, Lord, increase and widen territories and borders and influence and responsibility, God answers that request. If it's prayed from pure motives, from a heart of faith, from a person who's interested in being more and doing more. And that was Jabez. Now don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When we talk about being more and doing more, let's focus now on the doing more. I realize I preach here and in other places where there are good and godly brethren who are doing all that they can with all God has entrusted to them. And I would not for one moment try to heap upon you unduly guilt or frustration by saying to you or misjudging you and saying, you're not doing all that you can with what you have. Now the Lord knows, and we need to be honest. But there are Christians in this place, in this congregation, and in other places that are doing all that they can with all that God has given to us or to them. But on the other side, how many of us could do more, should be extending ourselves, should be broadening our field of service, and yet we wouldn't dream of making such a request because, for us to be totally honest, our lives are already too full. It may be that what keeps us from praying as Jabez prayed is because our priorities are not in line with God. Because we are too consumed, I am too consumed and preoccupied with what I ought not to be consumed and preoccupied with or in doing. And until there's a sorting of priorities, until there's a seeing of things from God's perspective and not man's, it does impact and affect at times not just our living, but our praying. Jabez's attitude again appears to be one of God, give me more. Use me to do more for others to your glory. He asked the Lord's hand to be with him. We know what he's asking there. Again, a man of noble character and a man of humility understands that he cannot do what he's calling upon in his own strength. He needs God's help. He needs God's power. He needs God's favor and grace. Think about the song that we sing, Be With Me, Lord. The words, Be With Me, Lord, I cannot live without Thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need Thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord. No other gift or blessing Thou couldst bestow could with this one compare. A constant sense of Thy abiding presence, where'er I am, to feel that Thou art near. Be with me, Lord. We noticed this morning from the 23rd Psalm. The psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. Thou art with me. I love Caleb. This Caleb in the Bible, Caleb. Caleb remembered at the age of 85 a promise that was made to him by Moses at the age of 40. And so at the age of 85, Caleb now goes to Joshua and says, "Now listen, there's inheritance yet for me to claim. This hill country, this mountain, it belongs to me. I'm going to go take it. I'm going to go claim it. I'm now accepting the promise that was made to me by God through Moses 45 years ago." And Caleb says in essence to Joshua, "Listen, I'm just as strong at 85 for battle as I was at 40. I like hearing that. But Caleb then says, "The Lord strengthening me, we will drive out the enemies." I can't imagine what it was like for the Apostle Paul at a time in his life toward the end of his life when he was writing his second and I believe his final letter to his son in the faith, Timothy, when Paul, not having a pity party, but just simply mentioned at a time in his life where most all had forsaken him and wouldn't stand with him because they wouldn't stand for Christ. But Paul was forever saying, and especially at the end of his life, to influence Timothy in a good way, "Timothy, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. The Lord never turned His back on me. And because the Lord gave me power, and because the Lord gave me strength, and because the Lord gave me favor, because He was with me wherever I went, I was able to do what I was able to do." Jabez, when he asked and calls upon the God of Israel for help and for blessing and for favor and for strength, he acknowledges, "This is only possible because, Lord, Your hand will be with me." Sometimes we forget what we know to be true. Sometimes we get caught up in the doubts and the fears. And we lose focus at times on a common basic understanding that is fundamental to our praying and our living, that we cannot do this without God. His strength, His power, His grace is what enables me to do what ought to be done and to be what He created me to become. May we never forget that. And finally, Jabez prays that "You would keep me, Lord, from evil or harm, that I might not cause pain." Jabez was asking for protection and deliverance. He never wanted to be the source of evil. He never wanted to be the cause of pain to anyone. And he's wanting God to be with him. One writer says that Jabez is asking that God be with him, that the grief of his name would not be borne out, that the grief implied in His name may not come upon him, may not come upon others. When we pray, "God, keep me from evil," when we call upon God for deliverance, surely we acknowledge that daily we need to be calling upon God to deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from Satan, who is seeking our harm, who is seeking our destruction. Surely I do not have to tell you and remind you, but I am anyway, that God says we need to be seeking Him and we need to be entreating Him daily for help and for strength to help us to resist and to overcome temptation. May we never forget that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly. But are we praying for help and for deliverance from our enemies? I believe the Apostle Paul did that with great regularity. And I know that he called upon other Christians, especially in the church at Thessalonica, to pray that he might be delivered from those that were wicked. And because they were wicked, they were very unreasonable. They were antagonistic to what was true that had to do with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "Pray that I will be, and that others who are laborers for Christ will be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because not all have faith." And that's the kind of world, my brethren, in which we live. What impact would we see in our churches? And what impact would we see in our communities if the people of God would band together and join together, one mind and one spirit with one accord, praying, Lord, deliver us, deliver him from unreasonable and wicked men. That the truth of your word might have free course. Jabez says, O Lord, God, would you bless me indeed? Would you enlarge my territory and my border, that your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil and harm, that I might not cause pain? And I love how the text ends in verse 10. So God granted Jabez what he requested. This is the confidence, John says, the Apostle John, which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to his will, he hears us. This is the confidence that we have. And we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request which we have asked from him. We know. Psalm 84 and verse 11, the Lord bestows favor. The Lord bestows honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, whose walk is blameless. God has promised that he will hear and that he will respond in some measure to the prayers of the righteous. This is not to tell us that God will always give us what we ask when we ask for it in exactly the way we have asked. But it is there to tell us that God is the source of every good and perfect gift. And He asks us as His children to put our trust and our faith and our confidence in Him, that He cares and that He will do what is best for His children. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is your character like that of Jabez? Is your heart like the heart of Jabez? Do you pray like Jabez prayed? Are you asking of God? Are you seeking His will? Or are you seeking your own will? Is your character, is your faith demonstrated in your praying? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God asks us and tells us to ask of Him, to seek Him. What is your need? What do you today need from God? Is there something that you need that you know you cannot provide, and no one else here in this room and no one else alive can provide, who is a mortal man? What need do you have that only God can provide? And number two, are you seeking and asking in faith for God to do what only He can do? I believe there are those here this morning that what you need from God is you need freedom and forgiveness and deliverance from your sin. God has already provided the means or the way that you can be forgiven and delivered from sin and from sin's wage. And that's through the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Through the blood that Jesus shed, the redemption He provided. Are you seeking and are you asking in faith for God to cleanse you, to forgive you, to save you of your sins? If you are, that faith must produce in you, if it is the right faith of love and obedience, it must produce in you the right response to God's invitation through the gospel of the resurrected Jesus Christ to come to Christ. Repenting of your sins. Acknowledging your faith in Jesus as the Christ. And your willingness to do what God has asked you to do in trusting Him for salvation. To be immersed in water, to be baptized in order to have your sins washed away. That's God's promise and blessing to you. But He waits for your response and your decision. Maybe for you as a child of God, what you have need of God is forgiveness. What you have need of God is for spiritual healing and for help. Call upon Him. Seek Him in faith. Bow before Him in humility and in reverence. Acknowledging sin, asking for favor, asking for help. And if we can pray with you and for you and hold up your hands and asking and seeking of God, that's what we want to do this morning. If we can help you spiritually in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?